Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm going to get this down here. I may need it a little bit. Everybody see that? We need it a little closer. All right. Well, last time we left off, before I was gone, had a great visit to Williston with everybody. Very encouraging to them. And it was encouraging to see, you know, the work that gets done everywhere else. But last time we left off, anybody remember where we left off? What did I start? What was I on? Budget, right? So we had a couple things down with budget. And one of the purposes behind having a budget was for us to be able to push towards something, right? To be able to have a goal to work with. See, there's a lot of things related with money that we don't realize, and a lot of things that we learn from it. See, wealth is not an escape mechanism, but it's a tremendous responsibility. Neither is Christianity. Christianity isn't an escape mechanism from the world. It's a tremendous responsibility that we have, right? So we have to be able to handle these things accurately, correct? So I'm going to put back up here what we had. So we had that was the first thing off the list, right? First thing we had on there. And this coming from your gross. Did I spell that right? No. Two S's, yeah. All right. Looked funny. That coming from your gross. So another basic things we had on there was we had food, clothing, and shelter, right? Shelter being our home or our mortgage, if you have one, mortgage, rent. Start with this one right here. Our mortgage and our rent shouldn't, if we're going to be able to have a budget, it shouldn't be more than a quarter of what we make a month. If we do, if we end up putting that more than a quarter of what we make a month, we are going to start working ourselves into a deficit. You ask, well, why is that? Well, has anybody looked at the prices of housing lately? To buy a house, an average new house, new construction, goes for $400,000. That's a lot of money. You think about it, $400,000 for a brand new house. Oh, we got them going already. All right.
So when you look at shelter, would you include, that's just mortgage and rent. Where would utilities fall in? Because obviously, you know, that's part of your shelter is having to pay for water and electricity and so forth. So when you look at that, you know, because that can easily add, you know, $300 bucks. So where does that fall?
I would actually put that in the mortgage be in a separate category because that's part of your living expenses, really. I mean, your food, you should have a set amount for that too, for how much you're going to spend each month on this. And you're like, well, how do I get to that? Oh, thanks, Kevin. How do I end up getting to that? I don't know. Like, we just spend we'll just spend because we know we're going to need food, right? Has anybody ever... See, we use these little things called debit cards these days, and everything comes out on a... We don't really use checkbooks, only certain things. You end up using a check for if you do. You can track, go through these, and you can track every one. You're like, huh. So, on an average of the past 2 months, take a 2 month, because maybe you were gone for part of 1 month, right? So it isn't really accurate as a basic month that you spend without traveling. How much did we spend on food? Now, in your food, you can include different things. You can include accessories for, not accessories for your home, but you can include toiletries. That's going to all come out of, if you think about it, in really about the same budget, because you're going to the same place to get it anymore. It isn't like you go to a different place anymore to get your food down at the market and then you go to someplace else. We go to places where they just have it all, right? So how do we set this? Well, we have to look about what we're spending and be honest with ourselves. Because if you try to set yourself, don't set yourself up for failure. Hey, this is what we eat. These are our normal eating habits. Start off with this. If you have no idea where you're at, start off with this. Because what's going to happen is you're going to put yourself under so much law trying to maintain one of these is you're going to crash. Because there's also things talking about is the temptation, right? Those are the things that happen when you get when money starts taking control of you and you take control of money. Who's
that? It's the thing, when you're going to the store to buy your groceries, if you make yourself a menu, per se, for the whole week, you know what you're going to need and how much of what you're going to need, and you can go according to that.
Very important. And don't go to the store hungry.
I didn't have my hand up.
Oh, sorry. It was over here.
I say, you know, that having a budget and tracking everything, especially with food, is so important, because most people say, well, I don't spend that much, you know, because I only spend $100 at Albertsons a couple times a month. That's not what's nailing you. What's nailing you is the $5 at the convenience store, the $20 going out to eat. It's all the little odds and ends. And a lot of people, because they're so small, it's like a trick on the mind where, oh, I didn't really spend that much. You add up all that little stuff and we have, and it's like, whoa, whoops. Shouldn't have done that. So, yeah, I can't stress that one enough, because write it down, have an envelope, whatever, because your mind will play tricks on you.
You will. And you will try to justify the means for something. You will.
One summer I did an internship in Idaho Falls, and I made pretty good money at the time for a college student, but it was amazing. I ate out fast food a lot, and it was just fast food. This wasn't fancy. This wasn't anything. But it was amazing how much of my money was gone for making good money. It was gone doing that. So those things will kill you. And then you have a family of six or four or whatever, it'll eat you alive.
Yes, these are things we don't realize. You know what? Convenience costs money, doesn't it? Yes, see.
I was going to say, if you want to take your wife out, that's fine, but have a budget for that too. Kind of put your change in the jar, you know what I mean?
You're right, you're right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
You should always treat your wife with the utmost respect.
You're right.
Take her out once in a while.
You're right.
She needs that.
You're right. You know, we're going to get into some of that and some of the spending that actually happens. And really, you know, we can try to put ourselves under law, but really the purpose behind this is for us to move forward, not to set ourselves up. Because who in here is under 25? Raise your hand. Okay. Yes. Okay. All right. I got you. Okay. So, if you're under 25, you should be doing some certain things, because most of the time, if you're under 25, pretty much, and you guys are above 16, mostly everybody has some sort of job that they're doing, right? They're bringing in some kind of income. Because guess what? We like to do things, and our parents aren't going to pay for everything the rest of our lives, unlike Americans think, you know? You're not going to live at home until you're 35, all right? Because then you've made nothing of yourself. So there's some certain things that we got to set forth at a younger age. If I took a guy, 25, at age 25, so he's 25 years of age, and he saved $2,000 a year. Now spread that out over a year. What do you get? You got 12 months. Anybody do the math for me? Right. So, 25 years, and he goes to 41 years old. Okay? And he saved 170, let's say 175 a month. $175 a month. And he's put that somewhere where it can actually do something. Because, let's be honest, like, your money isn't going to do anything in the bank right now. It's not. So you put this in something, you get with somebody where you can put it in something that has some kind of steady growth, right? A steady growth that you aren't going to get nailed on over so many years. But, so all of a sudden the guy at 25 years, he's been, guess what, that takes discipline, doesn't it? Because when buddies call up, hey, we're going to go do this, but... And you actually keep track of your money, you're like, that's going to take away from that. What are you doing? You start making compromises. Now, I'm not saying to set yourself up in a glass house. But you have to stick to things that you want to accomplish. And isn't it just for, as we look back in the younger generation, but how are we setting up the generations to come? You have... He goes 25 to 41. Well, this guy all of a sudden realizes that just because he's put in $2,000 from that at $175 a month, this guy at this age all of a sudden realized, guess what? I need to start putting some stuff away because guess what? I'm not going to have Social Security benefit, right? You will never catch up. Even if this guy put $70,000 in a year, you will never catch up. This guy who started at 25 will always be able to have more in reserves. See, that's the way compound interest works. Someone in there? Oh, sorry. I saw things flying over here. All right. See, income can be one of our most powerful tools, but only if you have control of it. Because what's easier, to push a big giant snowball up a hill or to follow it going down? Where are you going to spend most of your energy? Now, where does that put us? Where does that put us as trying to seek and save the lost? Where's our energy going to be spent? Is it going to be spent on trying to get out of debt? I would say, if you had a raise of hands, like, all right, who likes to be in debt? You can all say, no, I don't, because if you said yes, then you'd be lying. Honestly, you would. No one likes to be in debt. No one likes to have to owe somebody. You ever borrowed money from your parents when you're little? They're like, yeah, I'll give you $5 to go do something. But you have to do this. Guess what? You're always at the leisure of someone. When they want you to do something, you got to do it, right?
It's funny because we all say we don't want to be in debt, but debt is so commonplace now that people really don't even think about it when they go into debt. And it's just like you put a frog in boiling water, he jumps out. You put a frog in and slowly turn it up, and he boils to death. And that's what's happened in our society. Debt, credit is so easy to get. And it's considered normal to have all sorts of credit card debt that people don't even think about it. And it also ties into, we don't like to be in debt, but the flashy stuff that is presented before our eyes, it's the battle of the flesh. You know, I don't want to be in debt, but man, that car would be nice. And I don't want to be in debt, but whatever it is you're looking at that would be nice, and you can have it today. You can just sign this piece of paper, and you can have it today. And so you know, it takes a lot of discipline, and I guess what I'm driving at, to not be in debt and to not continue to get in debt, because it's so easy to get, and the temptations that Satan flashes before our eyes are really good.
You're right. Right. These things that come about, and you know what? There is something I wrote down here I specifically wanted to bring out. You can wander into debt, but you can't wander out of it. You know that? So let's keep moving forward on this, because I want to emphasize, as much as I worked when I was younger, if I would have saved that right now, saved, because I worked a lot. In a second, I'll get Kevin's comment.
Thanks. And talking about that saving the money, 25 to 41, everybody should be taught the time value of money, and there's two rules you want to know, and the rule of 72 is going to tell you how often your money will double based on interest rate, and the average interest in the Wall Street casino, was at one point about 10.5% to 12% on average. It's not there any longer, and that I'm a little concerned about. I'm not sure I'd recommend anybody do a lot of that. But at least you know what your return's going to be on an interest rate, how often your money's going to double. And I remember I used to tell people, if you put $2,000 away from the time you were 18 just till you were 25, with average returns, now I don't know if that's going to continue. I have my doubts. But we used to tell them that they would just have to do it for 6 or 7 years. They wouldn't have to put another penny in. By the time they retired at 65, they'd have well over $1 million. So, you know, it's a commitment of 6 years, $2,000, what we just tell them. The other rule you want to make sure you know of, it has to do with debt. You might want to ask Mr. Taylor to better explain this, but it's the rule of 78.
I don't know if I dare step back there right now. I might lose my class totally. But I'll come back to the rule of 78. I'm not familiar with that, so I'll have him come explain it to me.
The simplest way to explain it is it's not simple interest, and the interest is front-loaded. So when you go to get a rebate off trading your car in is the most common. You go, well, how come my principal didn't go down? Well, it's because you were paying mostly interest instead of any principal. It's not equal. So the worst one of that is they used to have leasing that was called open end. That's particularly bad, and it's come back apparently, and it is in town here locally. When you hear somebody say, oh, I got my Honda Civic 2017 for $150 a month and it's a $35,000 car, it's because they've rolled all that back to the balloon. It's basically an interest only loan, and so they got you in Hondas or whoever they get you with, and that's particularly bad. Yeah. But yeah, you're paying it up front, and why that's significant is, and I've gotten in trouble over it arguing with employers, is because you have an insurance commission. You're not supposed to get your interest or your premium on your money until it's earned. So when you're accelerating your port, in other words, the lender is benefiting by getting their appreciation before the time actually passes. And so that's why in life insurance and other products, they'll be regulated heavily. And the reason for that is they're supposed to have, this is a whole other topic, have capitals on reserve in the event of catastrophes. The closest thing I can give that to you locally here is in 1991 when we had that hailstorm. All the little insurance companies were writing check to everybody. So they were getting ready to trip their insurance to the bigger, to lay that off onto the bigger companies. And you'll also find coming up here in the near future, if you're in the car market, the subsidized borrowing that's happened over the last 8 years to bring car sales back up to 17 million, and AIG almost went down for this, is that they are insuring the residual amount of the car, and that when it goes to the auction, they're mismatched. So you might find cheaper cars in the future here, next 5-6 years, because of that mismatch. They're trying to predict the future, and sometimes that doesn't go well. So anyway, sorry, you got 50 cents extra there.
No, I do appreciate it. He does know a lot about this end of it, and he's someone that I actually need to pick his brain more on this. So let's get back to being able to have a budget, right? Being able to live off a budget. So we have these three, but in order to live on a budget, if you are in debt, you're going to have to do some things first. Because guess what? You're going to need, it's going to rain. It isn't a matter of when. It's just going to. Someday it's going to rain. If you haven't been kicked in the shorts with a $3,000 bill to $1,500 bill for something that broke, it's going to happen. Transmission went out. Right? Transmission went out. So if you're not able to, right off the bat, before you actually get all this set up, accommodate for that, it becomes more of an inconvenience. So you're like, oh, transmission went out. Oh, what are we going to do now? I don't have that money. Guess what? It ends up being put on a credit card or something. So we have to be able to look for these things. So one of the first steps before you even is, as fast as you can, get $1,000 saved, put away. And realize this isn't an investment. Even the money later on that you save, which setting up in this would be a step further after you've done some certain things as far as like a debt snowball, and I can talk more about that. That is not an investment. That is money that you can have quick access to because things happen. Well, they're like, well, 3 to 6 months of living expenses. That could be a lot of money, right? You think about it. Let's see, I got a mortgage of $1,100. I have a car payment. Our groceries cost us $400 a month. Yeah, my wife is very frugal. She could, she is awesome being able to. I swear she could get $100 worth of pennies out of a dead copper mine. I've been blessed to be able to have someone that, but you know what? Women are wired that way, aren't they? I think God has made women that way for a purpose. And here's the other part of that, is if we as men can take control, what does that do? You know, I talked earlier about getting in debt, is that most of the marriages in America divorces have to do with money. It's pretty sad. Wouldn't you think that would flip a little if some things were taken care of and there was some security there? That's pretty big thing to talk about, security. Now, our security really isn't in the money, is it? Our security comes in knowing where we're placed and knowing what we're going to do with this as a tool. But we got to be able to get there first. And it isn't going to be easy, because we all want a fast food right now. It took you 30 seconds more to get my cheeseburger. I'm not very happy. God talks about that, doesn't he? See, if I have money set aside for, say, my money that we go out to eat with, our entertainment money, and my good friend Nolan asked me, like, hey, we're going to go out to eat on a Lord's Day that's not potluck, and all that money's gone that I have set aside for that, but I don't want to disappoint him because it's going to feel like, yeah, I, you know, I got to be honest with them and say, hey, we don't have any more entertainment money. And if you're not honest, then people get the wrong impression that you really don't want to spend time with them. So be honest up front, because that's going to help you keep on your track where you're going. It's going to help you say, you know, I don't really have the money for that. I greatly appreciate it, but why don't we try to set another time aside, right? Especially if it's someone that you don't get to spend much time with, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, he's acting weird. They don't want to spend any time with us. People take assumptions over things if you're not honest and upfront with everything, don't they? That's just the way humanity works. See, they used to, what did I see something the other day about? And don't get me wrong, I think the ability we have to communicate fast and quick is awesome as far as our cell phones go and the texting, but things can be taken the wrong way, can't they?
There's a really great proverb. It's where am I at? 24:27. I've really tried to inculcate this into the heads of my boys. And it goes like this. Prepare your work outside and make it ready for yourself in the field afterwards, then build your house. And that, you know, I'm trying to help them apply that to marriage. I'm trying to help them to apply that to their future. Get everything in motion. Start making it happen. Start, you know, building your career, building all your savings, all these things. Then focus on building those other things. Because if you don't have that already in motion, when the harvest time hits, you won't have a harvest.
Right.
And that's when you're going to need it.
You're right. You know, you plan for things when you need it. And the Lord obviously has always had a plan all along, hasn't he? And these little things that we get to learn along the way, as far as being able to deal with this, actually help shape our character, don't they? Shouldn't people be looking to us to see the character of Christ? Now, there's some other things that I want to go through. I mentioned before. Debt snowball. Who can explain that? Who can explain that to me? It's not really that difficult. Anybody have an idea?
If you're $10,000 in debt, you focus in on one of the $5,000 one and you add money to it to accelerate the payoff on a monthly basis, trying to beat whatever the accumulated interest is.
So, say you have a couple of credit cards, and one is at a higher interest rate, but it's actually you have one at lowest. People often get into this like, well, it's at a higher interest rate. That's not the point of it. The point is if you had a credit card, what he's trying to explain, say you have a credit card, say, of $1,000. Say that's your lowest one, because that's pretty low for an average of America. Then you had another one with another $3,500. What if you had a payment to somewhere else? Whatever your payments are, take this lowest one first and throw as much at it as you can. Throw as much at it as you can. And guess what? You've already been spending this, right? It's already accounted for. When this gets paid off, take this $1,000, whatever you've been paying on this $1,000, put it into this one. And that's what he's talking about, the cumulative. That's why as it rolls over, it's bigger and bigger. Guess what? As you get down further, you start paying off big chunks. Big chunks go away. And a lot of people end up in this. They get in this, and then something happens. Right? That's why one of the first steps is you have to be able to, as quickly as you can, get something together for an emergency. It's an emergency that you keep in your sock drawer or you keep somewhere else. Like, hey, we're having pizza. It's an emergency. That's not an emergency.
What you were just talking about, too, psychologically, that really works in your favor, because we all like progress. If you feel like you're making progress, so there's something that's, you can see a positive direction, so that snowball, you know, you get excited about seeing things start going the right way.
Yeah. I mean, big positive, those big positive things that we get to see, how God has made us, that we like to see things happening. It gets encouraging that you don't give up, is what happens, because some people are so far in debt that they don't know where to start, right? I mean, I think all of us are pretty conservative, really. But you know what? We really should not be in debt. For the richest country in America, the richest country in the world, we have the most debt, don't we? That tells you that, hey, something's wrong here. It's like, if we were handling this accurately, we wouldn't be in debt. But eventually that'll make us the poorest country in the world, if you think about it. So, first of all, it needs to be at least $1,000. At least. If you're single, it needs to be $1,000. If you have a family, I would say try to scrape a guess at least $3,500 together. Because I believe I talked to before, like, who can work on vehicles? Well, they're getting more complicated to work on. You know, Dave knows how to work on a lot of things, and he can fix a lot of things. But I guarantee you that there's not everything that he knows how to fix, and he has to take it to somebody. We've had this conversation before. So at that point, we have to find someone else to help for the service. So it becomes an emergency, right? Who likes emergencies? You can, right, yeah. If you're providing the service, it's great, isn't it? See, having that initial turns a crisis into an inconvenience. So what happens? You have an emergency in the middle of this. As you're dealing with as you're rolling down, pushing this momentum of this debt snowball, getting rid of it, right? You have a crisis, which should be an inconvenience now, not a crisis. That's going to be needed to be replaced, isn't it? How many times have any of you come up to something where like, gosh, I just can't win. Stuff, this breaks, that breaks. I was talking with my wife later. I was like, our house has gotten a lot of use since we've lived there the past 8 years. And I'm like, yeah, we have to start. I mean, we've always set aside money for it, but I've never really directed that money straight at it. We've always been able to set aside money for house repairs and things that need to happen. But I'm just like, when it all comes together at once, it becomes like, hot water heater goes out. I guarantee you can't buy a good hot water heater for under $500.
Yeah, we recently went through that because, you know, we've had our house for right around eight and a half years. And, you know, it was great when we built it. It was all new, and we've lived in it for 8.5 years, and we really haven't done squat to it, except for live in it. And three kids, we went through a dog, lots of cats. All of a sudden, you know, we're in the process of trying to sell our house, and it's like, it took a lot to get our house sell-worthy. So I guess what I'm saying is, as you're going through the process, and it kind of opened my eyes that it's like, you know, yeah, you definitely want to either put money aside or whatever, because when you decide to sell your house or liquidate it or whatever it may be, you know, you're going to have to pay for that. Living in our house is not, you know, you don't just pay your mortgage and that's it. There is the continual maintenance, and if you don't do it or set money aside, eventually you will have to do it. And most likely it'll be at the most inconvenient time.
Right. This stuff is always happening. You know, and I think some things are set up this way actually to help us with our attitude. You know what? Are we content that I get a challenge? Okay. So I had a hot water heater go out, dishwasher doesn't work anymore. And guess what? Something's wrong with the car. We can't tell. What is your mind? What do you automatically do? You start going into panic mode, don't you? You're like, I'm going to have to get another job. Your mind starts going down these fields, right? So then what is your focus? What happens to your focus spiritually? Your focus becomes getting yourself out of this hole right now instead of paying attention to the things that really matter. Because everybody can get themselves in this. It isn't like, hey, I've been in debt. I still am in debt with my house.
I do think God has all this stuff set up too for us to make spiritual application. Like we see it, we get burned on it in the physical realm. But we should make the spiritual application too. Like, what if we aren't maintaining spiritually? Because there are times that just stuff comes that you don't anticipate, and the devil's hitting you hard because of that opportune time. And what, have we been putting stuff aside so we have some storage spiritually to be able to dig down deep and pull through that? So I just think that all of this stuff is interrelated. I mean, money is... I like the way you're teaching this class. It's a part of what God expects us to get a handle on, because it is it has spiritual connections and implications.
Thank you for bringing that out. I think it's something that I didn't realize till I got a little older. But I hope it to some of the younger people that they start to realize this, that it isn't about having fun all the time. Like, hey, I get to go have my next latte with everybody else. Like, you look at the price of sugar and coffee and cream mixed together. It's expensive. I'm not saying that we can't have those things, but hey, like, if you have to have one every day, it's your local, then you got to step back and realize, you're like, how much have I been spending on this? Because those things will drain us dry. The big things, a lot of times we can see them right up front. And Larry spoke about that earlier.
You get a key thing, fun. You know, we live, and especially I think generation 2000 and on, they expect life to always be fun. I was actually talking with our 7-year-old daughter this morning, and told her that, 7 years old, no longer playing on the floor, I want to see you, at least sitting in the pew. She goes, well, that's not fun. I'm like, well, you're right. It's not all about fun. So I guess I really encourage all of us, and us as well, it's a struggle to teach our children that life's not all about fun, because we live in a society that has lots of ways to have fun, but all of that fun costs. Try to actually go through a weekend. I challenge all of us, go through a weekend and not spend money on entertainment. Even a bucket red box or whatever, that is cheap compared to what's out there. If you want to do anything, it costs, and there's a reason it does. So, I don't know, a couple thoughts there. One, teach your kids it's not all about fun. I don't know how to do that. I'm still trying to work on that, because it's actually about work. Working for the kingdom, for the Lord. And it's a joy in the journey. You find joy in accomplishing things for the Lord. So, how do we communicate that to the next generation in today's society? It's a challenge. And so, but keep it on your radar.
Yes, very yes. Yes.
I agree with Larry 100% on that. But fun is what you make of it. I mean, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You can make it fun if you want to. I mean, your class here, to me, is enjoyable. I enjoy it. It's a mindset, and that's all it is. I mean, fun is what you make of whatever you're doing. You could take the worst job in the world and make it fun, if that's what you choose to do.
That's right. That's right. All right. Go ahead, Roger. Roger's up. No, you're good.
If you're going to touch on debt after this, so I was going to wait.
Yes.
If you need more.
Yes.
I'll wait till then.
Okay, all right.
I have a little bit of trouble with discussions that when we're really talking about lifestyle, and you have to remember where Paul, arguing with the Stoic and Epicurean philosophers, basically one, severe treatment without complaining, the other one, hedonistic or pleasure. And in Colossians, you just got to remind yourself that there are matters which be sure the appearance of wisdom and self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of body, but are no value against fleshly indulgence. Either one of those courses of philosophy do not help you. Right. So it is the lifestyle where you're not struggling against sin. And so only way you can do that I know is be filled with the Holy Spirit, and there's a prescription for that you get filled. So the money handling and the money spending and choosing what to have and what not to have are not nearly as important as being filled with the Spirit, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, you're definitely right. You know what? This, everybody's like, well, I don't have the knowledge to do this, and he's talking about that. Go ahead.
Just one, from what Mark said, one final thought. Just, I know sometimes, like, when it comes to diet and workout and that kind of stuff, you have to, there's a saying I have, eat with purpose. And, you know, what Mark's talking about is you can talk about all the things you shouldn't do or shouldn't spend money or waste money here or whatever, but what's your purpose? The bottom line is, do you have a purpose? Your money has to have a purpose. And ultimately, of course, is to build the kingdom of God. I appreciate what you're talking about, because we each individually have to then prioritize what this looks like. But if we don't have that purpose behind it, then you're going to waste it. You're going to, because what's the purpose of hanging on to it then?
You're right. And, talking about purpose, this, about all this, you're like, oh, I don't have all this information. I don't have us. You know what? Most of this, 20% of it is knowledge, and the other 80% of it is mental. Because guess what? We don't like change. I don't care who you are. No one really likes change. So when it comes to looking at this in a perspective, you're like, that means I gotta change. Oh, man. So, one more comment, and I got to close up here.
Putting all this together, I mean, two factors we need to put in place. One is character, and the other one is conscience. Let me give you an illustration. Let's say I've got a food budget, and it's X number of dollars, and I can stand on my food budget. I never go out of it. I am always accurate on it. But my food budget consists of just buying hot dogs, beer, and potato chips. Okay, the point I'm driving at is God has placed within us a certain drive, a certain direction, which is done by character and conscience, which will cause us to be prudent in those areas where we're getting a benefit, not just so we can stand on a set of laws and say, I'm falling within the budget. What good's the budget if I'm blowing, my entertainment budget is X, I keep within it, but my entertainment's porn.
Right.
What's the value of any of that? So it's like Luke was saying, if we have that direction of where we are going and where we're being taken, then we can look back at these things and we can decide, okay, yeah, I've got to spend this much on food, or I only had this much to spend on food, but the kind of food I need to eat is a little bit out of my budget. What do I do? Well, I'm going to have to do something like up my income.
Sure.
This is one of the things we haven't, I've been involved in the conversation a few weeks now, and one of the things we really haven't brought in is, am I maximizing, as doing my work heartily to the Lord, does that include maximizing my income potential? Because that goes right back to this.
Yep.
Budget goes right back to income. What good's a budget if I'm not making anything?
That's true. Very true. All right, guys, I'm going to have to close down for tonight. I thank you for your attention.